This is Local View's third time in November, Hot 8. Most everything that passes for news these days comes back one way or another to the hard times theme. As we've said before, hard times are created by the spending habits of the world's obscenely rich corporations, and the people who decide to serve up the hard times to everyone else have way too much money ever to be squeezed in the pocketbook. But hard times also are characterized by a lot of differences in perception. Even people who are financially secure behave differently when they perceive that times are hard, and that makes it appear worse than it is. Chicken Little shrieks loudest when the rich are keeping their fortunes under their mattresses. So let's talk about the state budget. It's not usually big news in November, but the governor's making it news by telling us almost daily that the sky is falling. Arnold's style on almost every issue is to keep his distance from the legislature and even from his own political party, while taking his plans and proposals directly to the voters through the media. That's what he's doing with his budget proposals, and he's right, of course, that for the immediate future, the state will see less money coming in because the state is just like every other middle-class family in hard times. The state gets its money by grabbing a share whenever and wherever money moves. If it's not moving, the state can't grab as much. So Arnold is plugging his proposals for places to grab a little more and places to spend a lot less. The cuts are always the details in which the devil is found. Most of the proposed cuts are in education, lower and higher, and it's the meat axe approach. Give them less and let the administrators of the colleges and the school districts figure out exactly who gets screwed out of what education. The state's contributions to benefits for the disabled also take a big hit under the governor's plan. These are state budget items of which most people approve, but that's always where the cuts are made. If every voter knew everything about where the state spends money, not too many of them would pick education as the first place to slash. But you can't blame voter ignorance. The California budget is one of those things that's so big and so complex that it renders democracy useless. Hell, it renders the state legislature useless every year, so imagine what would happen if it took a majority of all voters to pass the budget. Taking money from education does have the desired effect of spending less money. One of the governor's proposed cuts, however, doesn't pass that test of common sense. Arnold says we can save $320 million by giving state employees an extra day off every month and taking away a couple of paid holidays. This is an exaggeration, if not completely smoke and mirrors. Most state workers don't get paid by the hour, and their salaries are already locked in by collective bargaining agreements. The new taxes Arnold proposes all target the middle class. Even the so-called oil severance tax ends up coming from the worker bees when they pay the increase at the pump. The governor likes to spin his governance as nonpartisan, but when it comes time to dish up the hard times, well, the high end never suffers hard times, and it's always hard times on the bottom, so the middle has to take it in the rear, and that's about as Republican as it gets. Actually, the Republicans took almost all the kicks in the rear when the voters screamed earlier this month, but this two-party system is like a basketball game. The ball never stays too long at one end of the court, so it's way too soon to call the elephants extinct. But it is soon enough to ask why those political groups that aren't Democrats and Republicans were so invisible during the recent election. Maybe the obvious erosion of American values during the Bush gang's rule galvanized the electorate. No one wanted to be accused of wasting their vote, but if, as many are predicting already, Obama turns out to be Clinton in color, fringe parties might yet see a little more daylight. The Republicans have survived into this century by tricking middle-class people into voting against their own best interests. The mainstream media have cooperated by virtually ignoring small parties and their candidates, but the term mainstream media is losing its meaning. Newspapers and news magazines are dying, and celebrity news is gradually turning the term television journalism into an oxymoron. When the internet grows into everyone's primary source of information, no one will be hidden from view. We could be growing into a 10-party system, and the Republicans might not even be one of them. Here's one of those news anecdotes that demonstrate why Republicans are on the endangered list. A Catholic priest in Columbia, South Carolina, advised his parishioners not to indulge themselves in Holy Communion if they voted for Obama, because he supports the right to abort a pregnancy, and supporting him constitutes cooperation with intrinsic evil. He advises Obama voters to repent, confess, and do penance before receiving communion again. That suggests that we ought to have at least as many political parties as we have organized churches. And another last gasp. In New Hampshire, where the Democrats and Republicans control even the local elected offices, a 66-year-old three-term Republican county treasurer was defeated by a 20-year-old college student Democrat whose campaign consisted only of a $42 ad on Facebook. The defeated incumbent called the challenger a teeny bopper and blamed the outcome on brainwashed college kids. The new Republican motto, I'd rather be outfoxed than out-Facebooked. Finally, there's the Republican foreign policy as characterized by the Bush doctrine of preemptive war for fun and profit. This from a commentary by a guy named P. Edward Haley. The U.S. is a country of immigrants who came here for a better life. They did not choose to be Americans to lead a global crusade for democracy, nor will they ever seek to rule others for their selfish benefit. We can only hope Mr. Obama has absorbed those words. And that's Local Views for this week. This is Mark Stannert reminding you that this commentary doesn't necessarily outfox anyone at KVMR, its management, staff, or contributors. Email mark@caloki.com.